Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Aren't you glad it's warm in here? And by the way, as the pastor keeps talking, it's going to warm up even more. How many of you agree with that? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. Yeah, I knew you would. All right. So it's good that you're here this morning. Did you get a bulletin when you came in? If not, you need to make sure that you get one on the way out. And so if you have one, open it up. Right after the morning service, we have Sunday school. And remember, we have Sunday school for the kids all the way through adults. And in our adult Sunday school class, we've been talking about current issues and how they relate to the Bible, how to be able to have a look at these from a biblical worldview. And so it's very important for each one of us as believers to know that. Tuesday evening at 6:30, men, we have leadership team meeting right here at church. I hope that you have that on your calendar, and you'll be here to be able to join us for that. Wednesday at 1 p.m. here at the church, we have Joy Bible Study. Thursday night, we have Awana. It's World Series night. And then Saturday, we have men's breakfast at the church. And I've been told Jared is ready for us to be able to have a really good breakfast and a great time. And then Saturday night when you go to bed, make sure that you turn your clocks back. Because if you don't, you're going to be here early, which might not be a bad idea. But turn your clocks back. And so make sure that you do that Saturday when you go to bed. Ladies, there's a couple of announcements that are there for you to be able to know some information, and so I hope that you'll pay attention to that. Again, if you didn't get a bulletin when you came in, it's so critical that you get one for the events that are coming up this week and also in the future. I just want to give you an update. There's been some emails that have gone around. There's some prayer requests that have gone around about Carissa and Kayla and their cousin Megan, as they are serving in Uganda, about this Ebola outbreak. There is no new news, so right now there's not a countrywide lockdown or quarantine, but we just need to continue to pray that the girls stay healthy, that it doesn't reach to the part that they are at, and that they'll be able to minister the way that they believe God wants them to minister, as he's called them over there for this short period of time. So just keep that whole situation in Uganda, keep the girls in your prayers, and that would be great. So at this time, I'm going to call the children down, and we're going to get you ready to get sent off to Children's Church. So kids, come on down. I know, I haven't gone crazy, okay, all right? This is a special request of our Children's Church workers. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to be here this morning, and Father, to be able to just join together in this time of worship. And of course, worship isn't just singing. Worship isn't just music. Worship is everything that we do while we are gathered here together. And so, Father, may we worship you with open hearts. Father, may we come before your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. Father, may we come before your presence with open hearts, asking you to be able to give us in the measure that you know we need what it is that you have in store for us. So, Father, we turn the rest of our morning over to you. We pray that everything that transpires will bring glory and honor to you. Because it's not about us, it's about you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. Bye.
Would you all stand with me? Go ahead and stand up. There we go.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Sing one more time.
This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And for all eternity I'm going to praise him, and forevermore I will reign with him. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, the King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And for all eternity I'm going to praise him, and forevermore I will reign with him. And for all eternity I'm going to praise him, and forevermore I will reign with him.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. We serve a big God, and he's worthy of our praise today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. And there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. We love to shout your name, O Lord. We love
love to shout your name, oh Lord. Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Come on. Shout his name, Yahweh. He is good. Amen. He is good. I see the work of your hands, galaxies spinning, a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. I hear the sound of your voice all at once. It's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. I know the power of your cross, forgiven and free, forever you'll be my God. All that you've done is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed by you. You are beautiful, you are beautiful, oh God, there is no one more beautiful. You are beautiful, God, you are the most beautiful. We're here to worship you. You are wonderful, you are wonderful, oh God, there is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful, God, you are the most wonderful. We lift your name up. You are glorious, you are glorious, oh God, there is no one more glorious. You are glorious, God, you are the most glorious. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm overwhelmed by you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for you, our God. We're so thankful for what you've done for us. Lord, we are undeserving, but it's because of your grace, it's because of your mercy that you even care about us. Lord, we sing your praises today, for you alone are worthy, and we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. As the ushers take this morning's offering, I'm going to sing you a song you may not know. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all and has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. You might recognize that as scripture, because it is. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Thank the Lord with me this morning. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise him with me for his goodness. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lift him up. Come on. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, we lift you up, praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. If you need to hear that this morning, pay attention to Scripture. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed your transgressions from you. Whatever you hold over yourself, he doesn't hold it over you. Whatever you condemn yourself for, he does not condemn you. And that's why we say, praise the Lord. Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord.
Wow, great songs, worship team. Okay, be honest. How many of you wanted to sing, "This is the day the Lord has made, I will grumble and complain"? Oh, we got some honest folks here this morning. Very good. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 40. So there's great cause for rejoicing this morning, not all together, but because this is the last message in our series from the book of Exodus. Oh, all right. Wow, I figured you'd all be going, "Woo! Yeah, it's about time, Pastor." Okay, move on. Exactly. Get with it. So, yeah, no, we're going to talk about clouds this morning, okay? It hasn't lifted altogether yet, okay? So, starting next week, we're going to, through the month of November, we're going to be doing a series of messages on being thankful. Then we'll do a series of messages on Christmas, related to Christmas. And then, after that, I have no idea where we're going right now. So, I'm still asking God for direction. I'm between two studies in two different books of the Bible. So you pray with me that by then I'll have it figured out, okay? That God will help me. But today we're going to look at Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. So we're going to talk this morning a little bit about following the instructions. Because as we come to the last chapter of Exodus, we read these words, "So Moses finished the work." That's in verse 33 of Exodus chapter 40. So what does that tell us? It tells us that Moses followed all of the instructions for the tabernacle. Now most of us, and sad to say most of us as men, we live by an unwritten rule. When all else fails, read the instructions. Occasionally though, it is helpful to read the instructions. On a hairdryer, the instructions say, "Do not use while sleeping." On frozen dinners, it says, "Serving suggestion, defrost." On a tiramisu dessert, printed on the bottom of the box, it says, "Do not turn upside down." Whoops! On bread pudding, "Product will be hot after heating." On packaging for a clothes iron, "Do not iron clothes on body." On children's cough medicine, "Do not drive car or operate machinery." Children's cough medicine. On sleep medication, "Warning, may cause drowsiness." On a food processor, "Not to be used for the other use." Now I'm really curious. What's another use for a food processor? On Planters peanuts, "Warning, contains nuts." I think the people that wrote the instruction. No, I'm not going to go there. On an American Airlines packets of nuts, instructions, "Open packet, eat nuts." On a chainsaw, "Do not attempt to stop chain with your hands." Now raise your hand if you've ever done this. No, don't. Don't do that. On a child's Superman pajamas, "Wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly." On a hotel provided shower cap in a box, "Fits one head." I tell you, it's good to pay attention to the instructions, right? So once Moses finished the work of the tabernacle, God does something amazing. He comes to the tabernacle in the fullness of his glory, and his presence filled the tabernacle. And the visible picture of God's glory was a cloud. God gave Moses a direct instruction, and it's recorded for us back in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, and we looked at this a long time ago. It says, "And let me make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them in their midst." So the Israelites had constructed a tabernacle under the leadership of Moses that contained the Ark of the Covenant and the other pieces of furniture. God instructed Moses to make these things for worship and as a picture of the coming Savior. Because remember, every part of the tabernacle pointed to the Savior coming in God's, the fullness of God's time. Then Moses, when everything was finished, he dedicated and anointed everything, again, according to God's instructions. So our text this morning tells us about a cloud representing the glory of God resided over the tabernacle. Hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 40. Follow along as I read verses 34 through 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting. That's the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You get the idea? The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So the Israelites took down their camp and moved forward in their journey only when God moved the cloud. Did you get that from verses 37 through 38? But if the cloud was not taken up, if it didn't move, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. And you have a picture of this on the front of the bulletin. So this morning, I want us to spend our time looking at clouds. And there's some things biblically that I want us to think about in relationship to clouds. No cloud, no journey to God's promise. That's the first thing I want us to think about this morning. No cloud, no journey to God's promises. Now, the first mention of a cloud concerning God's work and God's will is found in Genesis chapter 9, verses 13 through 7 through 15, where God said, "I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds." By the way, Tony, thanks for the picture of the rainbow and the clouds around it this morning in one of our songs. "When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." So after the worldwide flood, God spoke to Noah and established a covenant, an unbreakable agreement that he would never destroy the earth by water in the future. The sign of his covenant would be a rainbow in the sky in the cloud, and that sign continues to this day. Because when we see a rainbow in the clouds, it reminds us of God's promise. Now, if you ever have an opportunity to go to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky and to be able to visit the replica that Answers in Genesis built with the biblical instructions, the biblical dimensions that God has built, that God gave to Noah to build the Ark, in order to go and see the Ark, you have to go through this arch. And this arch is a rainbow arch. So that before you ever get to see the ark and the fullness of its size and dimensions, you're reminded of the promise of God. And not just the promise of God never to destroy the earth again, but to me, every time I see a rainbow, I'm reminded of all of God's promises that he's given to us. All of his promises that can't be broken, because it's not in his character to break promises. You and me, different story. God cannot break a promise. Now, the word covenant in Hebrew comes from the word berith, and it means a pledge, a God-given ordinance with signs. And most covenants, as we look at the Bible, most covenants that God made has a physical sign, like the rainbow. Abraham's covenant sign was circumcision. Israel's covenant sign was the keeping of the Sabbath. A sign is a visible assurance that God keeps his promises. Why? Because we as human beings, we need assurances. God doesn't need a sign given to us to be reminded that he's made us a promise. It's for us, not for him. So the cloud that led the Israelites in the wilderness is first mentioned back in Exodus chapter 13. The cloud appeared right after the Israelites left Egypt. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." This same cloud moved from in front of them to behind them at the crossing of the Red Sea to block Pharaoh's army from being able to get to them and allowed the Israelites to cross the Red Sea after God parted the waters. Remember when we talked about this way back in our early study of the book of Exodus? We're told that the cloud gave light to the Israelites all through the night and left Pharaoh and his army in darkness. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 20, it says, "Coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel, and there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night long." What is that telling us? It means that the side of the cloud that faced the Egyptian army brought darkness, but the opposite side of the cloud, facing the rear of the Israelites, shone bright, allowing the Israelites to keep traveling all through the night from shore to shore. This allowed them time to outrun the Egyptian army, time for 2 million men, women, children, and their animals and their possessions to cross the pathway through the Red Sea. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 22, we're told whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time, that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there. The people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. And remember, as we talked about the Ark of the Covenant last week, when the cloud or when the pillar of fire began to move, they had to tear down the tabernacle. They had to pick up their tents. They had to break camp. And before they proceeded, before they took one step away from the place to where they were, the Ark of the Covenant had to go before them. The priest carried the Ark of the Covenant in front of them. So the cloud or the pillar of fire led them. Then right behind the cloud was the Ark of the Covenant leading them to the next place that God had for them to be able to go. No cloud, no journey to God's promises. No cloud. The second thing I want us to look at. No cloud, no journey to God's glory. It tells us that after crossing the Red Sea, and as the Israelites looked toward the wilderness, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, Exodus chapter 16, verse 10. In Exodus chapter 19, after the Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai, Moses makes 8 trips up and down Mount Sinai, some by himself, and some trips with Aaron, some with Nadab, some with Abihu, some with the 70 elders of Israel, and another one with Joshua. The first trip up the mountain was to receive instructions from God. Another time was to receive the 10 commandments, which remember later on, Moses broke them in his anger when the Israelites made the golden calf and were worshiping it. And the last time, to receive the tablets of stone again, with the same 10 commandments written on them. And remember, those last tablets of stone were the tablets of stone that were placed inside as part of the contents of the Ark of the Covenant. And every time the glory of God was in that place in a cloud. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 9, we see that God told Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." So the cloud was a sign by God signifying that he was there in his glory and could be seen by that cloud, by the people. From Exodus chapter 19 to verse 16 to Exodus chapter 24, verse 18, there are four times the cloud of God's glory covered Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 9 through 11, the pillar of cloud is mentioned again, and this time, as we've talked about, it's associated with the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 9 through 11, it says, "When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at their own tent door." So worship just didn't happen in the tabernacle. Worship happened where? In their tents, in the tents of their camp. Now, you've heard me say it before, you've heard Jared say it before, that worship is not only to be done in this sanctuary, within these walls, here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. We can take and worship God wherever it is we are, whenever it is that the Holy Spirit prompts us to be able to worship. You don't need Jared and Dave leading in worship to be able to worship. You don't need the songs that the worship team practices and that Jared chooses every Sunday for us to be able to sing to worship. There are lots of ways to be able to worship God outside. Isn't that interesting? That they knew that God's presence was where? In the tabernacle. Where did they worship? At the door of their tents, inside their tents. What a great lesson that is to us. Verse 11, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." Now, pillar is the Hebrew word amud, and it means an upright column of smoke. You've seen the pictures, right, of the pillar of cloud, and it's an upright column of smoke. "As the people saw the cloudy pillar and worshiped," Exodus chapter 33, verse 10, "the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord," Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. In Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34, "When the cloud covered the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." You know, there's nothing that does my heart good, or Jared or Dave or Crystal when she's helping with worship team, there's nothing that does our hearts better than to hear you lifting your voices in praise and worshiping God, because you know the fullness of God first and foremost is in your heart, and second, the fullness of God is in this place. When we read in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 35 that the glory of God in the cloud became so strong that Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle, that's hard for us to be able to understand, right? But the glory of the God became so strong. In many places recorded in the Old Testament, God appears in his glory in a cloud. When King Solomon brought the Ark of the Covenant and the other items from the tabernacle back to Jerusalem to be placed in the temple that Solomon built, we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, "And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." Do you believe that the glory of God has filled this house of God, this house that we call Lake Hazel Bible Church? And one of the reasons why is because the glory of God has filled your heart, has filled your life. Remember what the Bible tells us? That the moment that we believe in Jesus as Savior, we are indwelt by His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence. His Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and comes into our lives and guides us and dwells there and leads us. So together, collectively, when we join together every Sunday morning for this great family reunion that we call church, the glory of God comes with us. Or it ought to. It ought to. Maybe you woke up this morning and you just didn't feel the greatest. And so it's kind of like, do I really want to go? I really don't feel like going to church today. Oop. By not coming to this place, are you really allowing the glory of God to be full in this place? Think about that. Sometimes we let our circumstances, sometimes we let our situations, sometimes we let our decisions keep us from bringing the glory of God with us. Maybe this morning you something happened at home and you just weren't in a good attitude. I'm glad you got that settled and you were able to come and bring part of the glory of God so that collectively the glory of God could be in this place. How about one more? When Isaiah the prophet saw God sitting on a throne, he described what he saw this way. It's written in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. He says he saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now the train of his robe is a picture of the trailing glory of God. This is the same trailing of his glory that God showed Moses up on Mount Sinai. Moses asked God to let him see his glory, and God said he would hide Moses in the cleft of a rock and cover him with his hand. And as God passed by, God removed his hand so that Moses could see a brief glimpse of God's trailing glory. This is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 33. So we see that the cloud and the pillar of God are not just markers to set the time of travel for the Israelites in the wilderness, that they would not move forward until the cloud moved, but it is also the marker of the power, the presence, and the very glory of God. Next thing I want us to look at is no cloud, no journey to our eternal home. In the New Testament, clouds continue to be associated with God's glory and with travel and movement. This is introduced by Jesus, and Jesus connects it with his second coming. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, when his disciples ask him what the signs of his return will be, he says he will come back to the earth in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, he's not referring to the clouds above up in the sky, because he says these are the clouds of heaven. So what's the difference? Because Mark also repeats the same statement of Jesus twice in his gospel, both in chapters 13 and 14. In the revelation given to John by Jesus, John writes, and it's in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." So here in Revelation, Jesus is referencing the prophet Daniel. Daniel had a dream from God. And the dream is associated with the Lord coming back to earth as the righteous judge. This statement by Jesus echoes the promise of Daniel. The Son of Man will come with the clouds of heaven. Not ordinary clouds, but clouds of glory. Remember that God often presented himself in dazzling light. We talked about that last week in relation to the Ark of the Covenant. We called it the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory cloud. And remember that this glory had to be veiled. But when Jesus returns, the fullness of his glory will be completely seen. When Jesus returns, the fullness of his glory will be completely seen. If you read the rest of Revelation chapter 1, you see the description that John gives of Jesus, seeing Jesus in the fullness of his glory. Remember what John wrote in his gospel in chapter 1? We beheld his glory. That was only partial glory that he and the disciples were able to see. But when he saw Jesus, as Jesus was giving to him the beginning of the revelation, he saw Jesus in the fullness of his glory. And this reunion between Jesus and John took place after an absence of about 40 years. So can you imagine not seeing somebody for 40 years? That blows my mind that could even be possible. But can you imagine not seeing somebody for 40 years and then all of a sudden you get reunited, you get reconnected, and all the changes you see in them and all the changes they see in you. When John saw Jesus in the revelation, he saw Jesus in the fullness of his glory. Someday, we as believers are going to see Jesus in the fullness of his glory, and we will spend all of eternity with him in the fullness of his glory. And there's coming a day when Jesus is going to return to this earth, and every eye, all of God's enemies, will not only see Jesus, they will see him in the fullness of his glory. And when he comes to take us as believers to be with him, he's coming in the clouds. He's coming in the air. When he comes at his second coming, when he actually comes and makes contact here on the earth 7 years, after 7 years of the great tribulation, he will actually make contact with earth. And everyone then will see him in the fullness of his glory. So here in the New Testament, as it is throughout the Bible, clouds are a sign from the Lord representing his promise, his glory, and his visible presence, and also are associated with movement and travel. After Jesus paid the debt of mankind's sin by dying on the cross, 3 days later he rose from the grave, never having to die again. After his resurrection, he spent 40 days on the earth spending time with his disciples, being seen on one occasion by 500 people at one time. And remember that he told his disciples before he went to the cross that he would not leave them alone. And John records these wonderful words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now Luke records for us the last words that Jesus said to his disciples while here on earth. We find these words in the first chapter of the book of Acts. Jesus commanded the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Before he went to the cross, he promised to them he was going to send them the Comforter. He was going to send them the Spirit of Truth, same person. He was not going to leave them alone. They asked him if that would be the time that he would restore the kingdom to Israel. Listen to how Jesus responds in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as the disciples were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. A what? A what? A what? The cloud. And while they were gazing to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." How did he go into heaven? Good job, class. as the disciples were looking up into the sky, two men, angels, appeared and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Let me ask you again, can Jesus break a promise? No. Did Jesus make a promise that he was going to come again? Yes. Did his representatives, the angels, did they say the same way that Jesus left is the same way he's going to come again? Yes. Okay. All right. Jesus is coming back just as he said and just as the angels affirmed. He will be coming in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, we who are believers who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." If you die before the rapture, you're still going to experience that event. Because how do you get to be in Christ? By believing in him as Savior. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him where? In the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming," when? Soon. Soon. Could soon mean today? Absolutely. Now, as believers, how can we know that our journey to meet Jesus in the clouds and the journey to our eternal home in heaven could happen soon? Well, Jesus said there are some things we need to pay attention to, and those things are happening now. I hope you're paying attention to those, which indicate that we are not in the last days before Jesus comes in the clouds, but we are in the last seconds. What are some of those things? Well, global travel has exploded in the last 100 years. Global explosion of knowledge and technology. Is that a pace that is hard to imagine, hard to even keep up with? You realize, right, that as you study the book of Revelation, all of the technology that needs to be in place for the Antichrist to establish power, all of the technology necessary is already been developed. Already. We're not waiting. There's not a waiting period for something else to be developed for the Antichrist to rise to power when we as believers meet Jesus in the clouds. When we as believers meet him in the rapture. All the technology necessary for a one world government, for a one governmental leader to be able to have control over the economy, to be able to have control over the food situation, to have control over the oil, to have control over the whole globe. Everything that needs to be in place is in place. Jesus said that before he comes, that weather is going to be hard to be able to predict. Global weather patterns have become less predictable. There's global instant communications. We can be here in Boise, Idaho, and we can see what's going on in Paris. We can see what's going on in Rome. We can see what's going on in Uganda in real time. Because we have what? Instant communication. There are global pestilences and plagues. And Jesus said these are just going to get more and more frequent, more and more increasing. The return of the Jews to Israel from all over the globe, this happened in 1948. And the regaining of Jerusalem as their capital, this just happened just a couple years ago, remember? Peace treaties made between Israel and its former enemies, these were just done just a couple years ago. And then the advancement of cryptocurrency, setting the stage for a one-world leader and a one-world government. I don't know if you've heard, but England has a new prime minister. Did you hear that? I think they've gone through like three in the last 7 months or something like that. But this new prime minister has already met with the economic powers in Europe to be able to develop a plan to institute cryptocurrency as now the currency of that part of the world, with the eventual hope that it will take over the whole world. And if that ever happens, in that currency, in that economy, with just one type of currency, it will set the stage for a one world government leader and a one world government. Folks, we're in the last seconds. Jesus could come in the clouds today. Wouldn't that be great? My question is, are you ready? Are you ready for it today? Or do you have the 10 pegs of your life and your heart so put deep into the roots of this ground that the thought of leaving this earth scares you to death? I hope not. I'm ready to go. Every morning I wake up and the first thing that I pray is, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Will it be today? Will it be today? Just as the Israelites journeyed when the cloud moved and did not journey, if the cloud did not move, it will be the same for us. As we've seen, Paul writes to the Thessalonians that when Jesus comes back in the rapture to resurrect the bodies of believers who died and to catch away the living believers, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, when you were little, did you ever lay in your back in the grass and look up at the sky and watch the clouds and try to see if the clouds were forming like animals or people or things? Did you ever do that? I do that now. Only I'm not looking at the clouds to see if they form people or things or animals. I'm looking at the clouds saying, could that be the kind of cloud Jesus comes in? And boy, this morning as I was driving to church, as we turned off of 5 Mile and headed west here on Lake Hazel, there were some really nice wispy clouds. And I was thinking about the sermon this morning, and I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be great to be able to see Jesus standing on the edge of one of those clouds, saying, come on, let's go home. Hearing the voice of the trumpet, hearing the voice of the archangel saying, and Jesus saying, come on, let's go. Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Hopefully from this moment on, you'll never look at a cloud in the sky the same way as you did before now. We need to be looking. We need to be looking. We need to be looking. Because it could happen this very day. There will be Jesus in a cloud. And so will we ever be with the Lord. There will be Jesus in a cloud, and there will be a journey to our eternal home in heaven. As we studied the book of Exodus, I'm going to break it all down to what we've studied all of these weeks, all of these sermons we listened to some phrases that hopefully we can hang on to. God is with us. God was with the Israelites. He gave them his presence. He gave them the pillar of fire by night, and he gave them the cloud by day so that they would ever be reminded. He gave them the tabernacle, and he placed his very visible presence into that tabernacle. And God being with us should make a difference in our lives. God wanted the worship that took place in that tabernacle. God wanted the worship of the Israelites every time they saw the cloud, every time they saw the pillar of fire by night. God being with us should make a difference in our lives. And we can live with confidence knowing that God is with us and his glory and his presence is in us as those who believe in Jesus as Savior. And sometime soon, he's coming in the clouds. for us who believe. Father, thank you for what you have taught us. Father, we have been on a journey ourselves through the book of Exodus. And Father, there were so many lessons for us to be able to learn. There was so much for us to be able to learn about you, to be able to see you in your glory, as through the cloud and the pillar of fire by night, through the tabernacle, that you showed the Israelites that you were with them. You were with them every step of their journey. Lord, help us to be able to know that too. You are with us every step of our journey. And someday, that journey is going to culminate in us meeting with you in the clouds. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, so that we can enjoy forever and ever and ever not just a glimpse of your glory, but the fullness of your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
One more time.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of